In a not-so-quick hit, let's stop blaming Alaska teachers for Alaska's education woes. And instead, let's finally talk about the one group who needs accountability more than anyone: Alaska's parents. Alaska has some of the highest percentages of harmed kids in the country, but yet we blame teachers who have basically been turned into first responders. This past week, Governor Mike Dunleavy waited until the last moment to veto a desperately needed education funding increase. Quote, "Somebody's got to fight for parents and kids. Somebody has to fight for them," Dunleavy said in his veto message. Okay, as somebody who has been very involved in public education policy, I am going to take issue with the governor's statement, because a governor fighting for parents and kids would not have been so disengaged in the process. A governor fighting for parents and kids would not have been so disinterested in compromise. A governor fighting for parents and kids would not have waited until the very last minute to veto the entire education bill. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not quite sure what you heard, but I heard very clearly from parents whose children that attend charter schools, they don't want Governor Mike Dunleavy anywhere near the charter schools that they have successfully built. But let's give our education governor the benefit of the doubt while asking, shouldn't parents be accountable as well? First, the brutal and unvarnished truth. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean brutal. Alaska has the highest per capita of fucked up people having children in the nation. But yet, we're totally blind to that fact when discussing education outcomes. In a state where we have more harmed children and more screwed up parents than anywhere in the country, it is unfathomable to me that we would lay the blame for their failures on the doorstep of teachers. Now, allow me to explain. During the 12 years of K through 12, a student will spend 13% of their lives in school. Okay, so that's 13% of their lives in a classroom in front of a teacher who will then be held responsible for their entire performance. But, however, that also means that 87% of the time they spend outside of the classroom, they are in the hands of their parents. Let me repeat that. 13% of the time teachers, 87% of the time parents. Now, before a child enters school and during the entire time the child is enrolled in school, parents are responsible for the home environment, social development, commitment to education, discipline, values, health, and well-being of their child. Right? Because that's what parenting is. So, let's see what type of condition Alaska kids are in when they show up at the doorstep of their neighborhood public schools. To begin with, between 2012 and 2020, 47% of three-year-old children in Alaska experience at least one traumatic event, while 9% experienced four or more. And then, a few years later, these kids are going to show up on the doorstep of kindergartens, where already over 50% of the kids who show up on the first day are not ready to learn. Over 50% of kids enter kindergarten on the first day far behind where they should be. So what's happening in those early years when parents are supposed to be preparing their kids for school? Well, today, Alaska ranks only behind Maine as the most dangerous state for children in the country. Let me repeat that. Alaska ranks only behind Maine as the most dangerous state for children in the country. I mean, for God's sakes, just listen to these stats, my friends. 31% of all children born in Alaska will be screened by child welfare. 38% will be reported to child welfare by age 10. That means fourth grade. 13% of children born in Alaska will have claims of abuse substantiated by child welfare by age 12. That means sixth grade. 7% of all children in Alaska will be removed by child welfare. Also, today there are 3,000 Anchorage School District students who are homeless, which equates to 6% of all students enrolled in the school district. So, let's break this down. Say 30 kids in an average school class, 38% will have been reported to child welfare by age 10. Now think about that. In a class of 30 students, 38% equates to 11 children. Now let's get to the caregivers. Alaska has the third highest rate of domestic violence in the country. 43.3% of women experience domestic violence. 35% of those children in those families experienced a report of harm before age 13. That means by seventh grade. Alaska has the highest homicide rate for female victims killed by a male perpetrator in the nation. Alaska is a national leader in alcohol consumption, with rates of alcoholism that greatly exceed the national average. In fact, over half of the Alaska population has been binge drinking just over the last month. Many of these are parents whose children depend on them. Meanwhile, what's the Dunleavy administration doing to help these kids? Well, under Governor Mike Dunleavy, child welfare is chronically underfunded, understaffed, and was recently reprimanded by the court for case backloads. A group of Alaska foster families has filed a class action lawsuit against the administration of Governor Mike Dunleavy, claiming structural issues and a lack of funding in the foster care system has led to destabilizing placement changes. Head Start has always been the best solution to address family dysfunction, but it's underfunded, and last year Governor Dunleavy vetoed half of the $5 million the legislature appropriated. And yet, the governor wants to blame teachers. 87% of the time spent during educational years, a student is at the mercy of their primary caregivers who are failing miserably. So let's not blame teachers anymore without first understanding that this state has more than its fair share of really screwed up parents. Parents who have brought kids into this world and failed them miserably, and then drop those kids on the doorstep of public schools and expect an overburdened and undercompensated teacher to fix the damage they created. Let me repeat. Parents are responsible for the home environment, direction, commitment to education, discipline, values, health, and well-being of their child, not the teacher. But yet, when little Johnny and Janie show up from one of the thousands of homes in Alaska where the parents are drunks, druggies, verbally abusive, sexually abusive, who are failing to ensure their child is adequately prepared for school, we want to blame teachers. Man, I am so tired of this ridiculous charade. I mean, let's start having teachers give report cards on parents. Yeah. Let's start talking about shared accountability. And then let's publish those results like third grade reading scores or high school graduation rates. Let's factor those challenges, those failures, into our critique of Alaska's public school system. I mean, let's grade Alaska parents on the following. Are you communicating with your child's teacher? Are you staying informed about your child's classwork? Have you created a supportive learning environment at home? Are you a role model for your child? Are you monitoring your child's progress? Are you addressing challenges as a parent? Are you providing resources and support? Because these qualities, ladies and gentlemen, represent the keys to a parent ensuring their student gets a good education. So it seems fair to me to reconcile a parent's commitment to education with their child's performance. And if you want to say, oh, come on, Andrew, we live in the real world and these standards are completely unrealistic for most parents, then what I would ask you is, then why the hell are we judging teachers on the basis that this is the reality? Why are we pretending that every day 30 bright-eyed students fill classrooms throughout Alaska with their books and number two pencils ready to learn, when in fact this is as far from the truth as it could get? Why shouldn't we hold parents just as responsible as teachers? Especially considering that parents are supposed to be parenting and teachers are responsible for teaching. But yet, today, teachers are doing a significant amount of parenting in the classroom due to poor behaviors not addressed at home. Seriously, Let's stop blaming Alaska's public school teachers and begin placing the blame exactly where it belongs. On the parents who are failing to parent their kids, on the state who is failing to protect kids, and on the governor who is trying to discriminate and marginalize kids. Alaska's public school teachers shouldn't be blamed for the fact that an average of 4.2 children in a class of 30 have experienced trauma that creates poor performance and unsocial behavior. Alaska's public school teachers shouldn't be blamed in a state where ill-equipped parents, ill-equipped state agencies, and a governor who has constantly ignored warning signs and continued to put Alaska kids at serious risk. Look, the bottom line is Alaska has a very high percentage of parents who should not be parents, and it's exacerbated by Governor Dunleavy's failing to invest in education, social services, prevention, or treatment during the last 6 years. Let's recognize we live in one of the most dangerous states in the country for parents and children that has gotten more dangerous over the last 6 years. But yet, Governor Dunleavy says he's fighting for parents and children. But then again, while Governor Dunleavy was vetoing $200 million in education funding, desperately needed education funding, he offered a $300 million gift to his friends at Alaska's Economic Development Agency, who testified to lawmakers that they had no idea what they were going to do with that $300 million. Accountability. But they think they're going to lend it to international mining companies. And then, ladies and gentlemen, those international mining companies are going to fly in out-of-state workers because our education system is failing. Look, teachers teach what they are given by parents. Meantime, Alaska has more damaged students and more damaged parents per capita than anywhere in the country. And the scourge of drugs, alcohol, violence, abuse show up every day that your neighborhood school teacher has to deal with. So stop blaming teachers and start recognizing we have a lot of screwed up parents who are screwing up their kids and then expecting underfunded and overburdened school districts to teach them. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I would love to say, hey, you just can't write this stuff. But unfortunately, I just did. Have a good week, everybody.